Picture the scene at Gethsemane. The daylight almost gone, with Christ, with three disciples, called Peter, James, and John. They slept beneath the olive trees while Jesus went to pray. It's there he asked his Father, was there any other way? To know you would be crucified, the pain you would go through, to know it was a painful death, we would be praying too. He knew they would arrest him for crimes he had not done. He stood accused of blasphemy, God's one and only Son. Betrayed by teachers of the law, in ignorance they wallowed. Betrayed by just a single kiss. Betrayed by one who followed. Deserted now by everyone, his followers would flee. He knew his moment had arrived, fulfilling destiny. They say that in the garden, the trees are there today, standing there as witnesses that Jesus went to pray. In the garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus' feet once trod, who carried out his Father's will, stood the only Son of God. Amen.
And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Thank you again for inviting me here today. I'm sure you don't mind bringing me my own congregation. Your reputation, we spread it around, of the things that you do and what you're involved with. You heard this morning about Terry and the Valentine, and we had such a fabulous time here when we came. Yes. It's fantastic, the things you do. And of course, you're involved in this outreach now with Hot Cross Buns. That's something even more exciting. Who knows what the Lord will do? So be encouraged and be enthused. Let's pray to the Lord. Dear Lord, we praise you and bless you and thank you that you are our God. And tonight, dear Lord, we ask that you would send your Spirit into us right now, that you come into our hearts and souls and minds, and you would quicken us. You enable us to hear what you would say to us here this evening, that, dear Lord, we would be prepared, we would understand, we would be rebuked, we would be encouraged, we would be blessed, we would have light shone upon us, so that, dear Lord, we would understand your word. For, dear Lord, we are a hungry people, for we have a prayer where we say, give us this day our daily bread, and, dear Lord, let us be hungry for that bread, hungry for that wine which is your Spirit, that, dear Lord, you would transform us as your people, so that we could worship you in your word and in truth and your Spirit. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said. Thank you. I wonder what passions you have in your life these days. And I wonder if any of those passions include God. Do you have a passion for God? For, you know, he has a great one for you. He must have, for he sent his Son. We're about to celebrate this time. He sent his Son to die for you, so that you might be reconciled back to him. You know, if we had no other blessing in our lives, that would be something to celebrate. For, of course, when you came to the Lord, what happened in heaven, Terry? They rejoiced, didn't they? The whole of heaven. The trouble is, we miss all those parties, don't we? We miss them. Because when we get up there, we'll be able to do the same for others, won't we? The whole of heaven rejoiced for you. Talked about forgiveness this morning. And I wonder how many people have received their forgiveness or accepted their forgiveness. For if that is what heaven does for each one of us, think about the power of forgiveness that God has. He said, it doesn't matter who and what they were before. I've saved them. I've redeemed. They've accepted me. And they are my son. They are my daughter. And let's celebrate. Let's welcome them back. This is the passion that God has for you. But do you worship God with the same sort of passion? Is he inside of you in that way? Do you welcome him? I said this morning about the fact that, you know, when we gather together, if two or more gathers together in his name, he's amongst us. The Lord Jesus Christ is walking amongst us here this evening. When there's a people, we could really capture that. You know, when you go out to give your hot cross buns, he will be there with you, going before you, pointing people out to you. If we just could be sensitive, talk to that person, give that person. What if they're that sensitive? And then who knows that if that one of those, a few of those individuals that you bring, you will know that heaven is rejoicing because somebody has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. A passion for his work. What passions do you have in your life? I wonder if they're good or do they destroy you? Do you deceive yourself in your passions that you have? It says this in Philippians 2:15, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God, without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, which is spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you have seen as bright light stars or beacons shine out clearly in the dark world. Is that describing you here this evening? I know on occasion I would struggle with that. To be blameless, to be a bright, shining star, because things can get us down, can't they? I've got a broken toe at the moment. It got me down last week. I know, thank you. I got some sympathy. Look, I got some sympathy. Yes. Yeah. But you know, I know things can get us down. But remember, you have a secure place in heaven. Could have had a hallelujah there, can we? Or an amen, can we? We got a secure place in heaven and we've left hell behind. And because of that, we should have the spirit and power of Christ in our life, for he desires to indwell us. But I wonder, do you want to indwell in him? And embrace that power. Embrace that power and that love. In Daniel 12:13, it says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. I wonder if you've led anybody to righteousness. And because of that, then you feel bright and shining and excited because of what God is doing in your life. Because he's done it in somebody else. You've passed on that gift. You've passed on that blessing. And you're shining like stars. For people are attracted to the light. Are you developing a passion for God in your life? As Terry was reading out in his poem regarding Bible knowledge, it's a long time since I've heard those poems. And, you know, I wonder how exciting your Bible study is. We have highs and lows, but you get challenged, don't you? Yes, you get challenged. Yes, and they give almost as good to me as I give to them. But it's exciting, examining God's word. I wonder if you get excited about the fact that we're off to Bible study. You know, most folk, and I was like this for a while, so, you know, off to Bible study, I don't know. But you see, Bible study should be the most exciting time. And I see that many churches, and this isn't to bring any condemnation on anybody, if Bible study isn't exciting, change your material that you're looking at. Send your leaders on training. Enable them to be enabled. Pray for them that the Spirit would indwell them to make them exciting about God's word, because God's word is relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago, as it was 3,000 years ago. It speaks directly into our hearts and souls and minds. And if we have the Spirit, then we get life. The trouble is, most of the time, Bible studies have no Spirit, so it brings death, spiritual death. We need to change that as a people. I hope your Bible study is exciting. I really do. I pray for your leaders who lead it, because it's very hard. And there's a pressure upon you because you need to be able to bring the word of God to the people of God to feed them, and that you need that Spirit of God. And you know how much you'll get attacked and how much you'll struggle. But do you have a passion for Bible study? Do you have a passion for it? We as God's people are supposed to be bright and shining stars for those around us, for we should be transformed. And that's inclusive to all of us, to not a special few. You as a people are supposed to be agents of wisdom who know the love of God. Do you have wisdom upon your lips? And the reason why we should have Bible study and examine the word of God together. Do you have wisdom upon your lips? Is it in your mind as you look on God's word? Can you take the word and consume it so that it changes your life and how you react to situations change? So do you have that passion for that wisdom that God desires to give you? Or is it sterile to you? I hope it's not. I hope this is encouraging you this evening, because there's so much more with God and Jesus and what he desires and plans to do in our life, that he needs to make you agents who shine in this world. For you see, you are the Christ that only anybody will ever see. But do you have that passion that he has for you? And he's given you his love letters, which is his word, so that you might have wisdom in the world. The world would like to dismiss all these things because they don't understand, and they don't understand because they don't have the Spirit, and they don't understand because they don't know you. In Psalm 104:4, it says this: he makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. Are you shining bright here this evening? Are you a flame? Can people see you as a bright, shining lamp? Because you love God and you understand who and what he is in your life. Or are you dull? Not dull because you don't understand, but dull because it's a struggle. It's hard. Loved ones of God, be encouraged tonight. For Christ desires to enable you. Christ desires to bless you. Just open the door to him so that he might come in. If you've already opened the door, then make sure that the seat is ready and comfortable for him, and you've prepared a meal, which is your soul, that he may come down and sup and provide you and grow you as individuals and as a church and as a fellowship. For our God desires you. He has a passion for you. But this is a two-way exchange. This is a divine exchange. And he wants you to take steps towards him so he can take steps to you. Christian, you are supposed to be a bright light in this world, which nothing can extinguish, no matter how dark it becomes, because Jesus Christ is in your heart and you have the word of God upon your lips and the wisdom of God in your mind, and you should be full of passion for those because you have been saved and you desire everyone else to have what you have in your life. From the light which we have from God, who lights our path, we are a people who are able to find their way in the darkness of the world. With the light that comes through Christ, which shines through you, then people are able to find God because they are attracted to you. They're attracted to the flame that burns inside of you. And because as you gather together, that light and those flames become so much brighter, then more and more people are attracted. But do you believe? Do you have faith? Terry, bottle that faith this morning. Are you willing to drink from that faith and say, Lord, I believe. And I have asked, so therefore it will come about. Because this is what you have promised in your word. You have told me, if I have faith as small as a mustard seed, then a mountain can cast itself into the sea. A tree can be uprooted and walk into the water. Do you have that faith? I know it's difficult on times, isn't it, to believe, especially when we see and hear of miracles that take place. We're so quickly to dismiss it. But our God desires to be involved in your life. He desires to be attentive to your word. But how close are you to him? How close are you? You have to shout so he hears because you're so far away. Or are you close? So all you have to do is whisper. Because our God desires to be involved in you and the work he wants you to do, and also the desires that are upon your heart, so they might grow and become a passion for him, because he's passionate about what you desire. Are you bright and shining so people are attracted to you? One of the things that many people are afraid of is being baptized by God's holy fire. I wonder if you've received God's Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, God's people in the upper room were baptized. They were immersed in holy fire. They didn't receive a little sprinkling. They didn't receive a portion, but a full measure. Have you received your full measure? Do you desire with a passion to have more of God's Holy Spirit, that he would become so manifest in your life that where the Spirit begins and where you end, it becomes blurred? We can't do anything without power. We can't overcome without Christ's power in your life. But do you have the power? Do you have the passion for that power, so that you might transform your life and those around you, because you are wise, you are full of brightness and light? Or do you prefer the passions of the world? Because it brings responsibility. Many do not like change in church. Terry's got a poem about that. Many are resistant, and many want to banish it. What they don't realize is our God is always on the move. Our God always acts out what is new. We're never supposed to go back where we used to be. We're not supposed to be comfortable. We should never enjoy past glories. We're supposed to move on and forward and be uncomfortable and going to new places. Again, they'll tell you from the Bible study, sometimes I bring things that make them extremely uncomfortable, because God makes me extremely uncomfortable. And that's what it's about, because Jesus wants to push us and open us up to the new possibilities of who and what he is through his word and his spirit, so that our passion may grow. There may be room inside of us for more and more of God. Many will say, well, it's all very well, but how do I move forward? How do I grow as an individual? We're supposed to be the temple of the living God. And God says to us right here, I will live with them and walk amongst them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Are you God's people here this evening, so that he might move you forward, that he might develop and grow you, that he might be able to speak to you and grow you as people, so miracles take place around you? How do you think the early church started? They prayed. Our inaction. We've gone through this in our, sorry to bring our Bible study up again, but we've gone through this in our Bible study. What did Christ do? He prayed in the morning, and so that he had that close relationship with God, and God said, this is what I want you to do today. And then he went out and he was full of action. Just like you are going to be full of action when you take your hot cross buns out. You're a people who are in action. We're too easy. We take the easy route most of the time. This is important. Please don't misinterpret me. This is important that, yes, of course, we do pray. But how much are we full of action? Did you feed me? Did you give me something to drink? I was cold and naked. You gave me something to wear. This is where our God is and testing us as his people, so that he might bring us then back together when we've been through all that action, so that he might bless us with his power and he might say, well done, my good and loyal servants. The difference between a slave and a servant, by the way, slave has to, a servant gets to. A slave is forced to, a servant is eager and desires to please their master. A slave becomes a partner because you get to know what they like. Sorry, a servant gets to know their master, where a slave never knows and is generally punished. If you want to be, we want a God to be amongst us, we must be separate from the world, not a people of isolation, but involved and in action, and reject those things which would taint and harm us. If we behave like this, then God receives us. He will be a father unto us, and we will be his sons and daughters. He will inhabit our lives and bring us blessing, power, faith, grace, and peace. I don't know about you, but I, as an individual, as someone who tries their best to walk with God, and I fail myself so much in that, and just to free you from this, I may have said to you before, and I'm not ashamed to say it again, you can't disappoint God. You can't. It's not possible, because he's lived your life. You can't disappoint him. You can't. It's not possible. You can disappoint yourself. You can let yourself down or those around you, but you can't do it with God because he loves you and he's lived your life and he's already chosen you. He's selected you. So you may think that you fail all through this part of your life, but you can't disappoint him. He's there just saying to you, Terry, let me take your hand. Let me lift you up and let's move forward. Forget about that because I've forgotten it. Let's move forward. Let's go on to greater and greater vistas. You might see what the horizon would bring us and the possibilities that are in your life. Do you have that in your life at this time? Free yourself from disappointing God and allow him to take your hand and forever lead you forward. Tonight is your passion for this world. If it is, then you're an enemy of God. If your passion is for God, then you're an enemy of the world. This choice is yours. I know who I want to be an enemy of. At times, the trouble is I defect. And then the Lord has to say, okay, you carry on. When you're ready to come back to me, then we'll move on. And then I have to come back to God and draw closer and ever closer with him. I get quite frightened now when I leave God behind. I don't know about you. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Keep with God. Grow to him. For it says, I will be their God and they will be my people. I pray that you are the people of God. Do you have a passion to be called the people of God, to be successful with him? Today, who is your God? Is it Jesus or is it the world? Are you interested in being with God or the world? Do you intend to have an eternity of light and love and grace? Or do you prefer the eternity of darkness and separation from him? You see, God has a passion for you. And he desires for you to have a passion of light for him. He desires for you to have a passion for the work for him, for his word. So that you would leave away, it would go away from you, the darkness and the evil things of this world, like gossip and hatred and dark thoughts and a dark heart. For he desires to transform you into someone who's full of light and love and wisdom. So this day, at the close of this day, before we share this meal together with the Lord Jesus Christ, is your passion for God or is it for darkness? Do you have a passion for love or hatred? Do you have a passion for wisdom or ignorance? Do you have a passion for peace or is it strife? Do you have a passion for life or death? Jesus says, come to me, all those who are weary and heavily laden, and I will take your burdens from you, and I will give you my burden, which is a light and joy to bear. I know where I desire to be, but what about you? To be passionate for him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for all those who are gathered here this evening and would ask that they would open their hearts to you. But dear Lord, if they have a passion for the world, then you would say, trust me and enable me to give you a passion for me. So you would be transformed. You would no longer be in darkness. You would no longer feel the burden, but rather you would know me and the love and light and grace and peace I desire to give to you. Bring your burdens to him right now. We'll spend a few moments of quiet that you might reach out to him and embrace him. And the Lord would be able to say to you, welcome, you've come home. Let's spend a few moments of quiet with the one who loves us.